morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by, and welcome to Astathio's conference call to discuss the fourth quarter and full year 2014 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.astathioparticipacados.com.br/IR, together with the respective presentation and earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will be given an ability to listen to the call. We will then begin the question and answer session, when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star then zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ruggiero Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Ruggiero, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference on our results for the fourth quarter and year of 2014 results. I have here with me Mr. Virgilio Gibbon, our CFO, and also my IR team. And I'd like to remind all of you that we're going to open up for questions and answers at the end of the presentation. So let's get started by showing slide number 2 of our presentation, which is also available on our website. As we've mentioned on several occasions, we like to divide the status timeline in 4 different stages. The first stage, which goes from the foundation of the institution to GP's arrival in 2008. The second stage, which comprises the period between 2008 and 2011, which was characterized by Estácio's turnaround. The third stage, which we believe is deeply influenced by all the work done during the turnaround years, with, of course, the help of positive externalities for the sector. And the fourth stage, where we foresee a more challenging and complex scenario, more competitive, with new technologies and less positive externalities, but at the same time, with great opportunities for companies with concrete differentials for their target audience. I'd like to call attention for the third stage in our history, which began at the end of 2011 and has been lasting until now. In this phase, we have been benefiting from all the work we did during our turnaround, besides the tailwinds that reinforced the market's positive perception of the sector. In short, we can argue that we had 2 possible paths we could have chosen to take advantage of these good times. The first one was to make the most of this and move full speed ahead, multiplying our size by several times through consolidation and other levers that could boost our growth. The other path was to adopt a more long-term strategy, thus keeping a steadier growth pace that will allow us the time to build the crucial differentials that will be of the utmost importance when we finally get to the fourth stage of our history. As everybody knows, we chose the second path because we believe continuous improvements last longer and generate higher returns than short-sighted leaps. In other words, we chose to focus on the film rather than on the picture, projecting a future and working hard to build it since the beginning of this third stage. In this context, since 2012, we have had 2020 as our horizon in order to escape from the pressure of quarterly results, short-term goals, and success in one dimension to the detriment of others. For this reason, we adopted a more disciplined approach towards our growth strategy, prioritizing organic growth and making acquisitions to improve our capillarity, not for consolidation purposes. We also decided not to over-rely on FIES, since we did not want our strategies to be based on elements which do not depend solely on us. In other words, we chose to base our strategy more on our own strengths so that we could sustain a reasonable growth pace with a controlled risk level even in more adverse scenarios, as the one described in the fourth stage we just mentioned, thus guaranteeing the achievement of our Vision 2020. Therefore, while we were delivering outstanding results stemming from our turnaround process, we decided to take the time to build the attributes that shall make a huge difference in our results. I highlight the creation and implementation of a corporate culture, which gradually becomes an important competitive advantage as it allows us to align thousands of employees spread all over Brazil around common goals. the execution with total discipline of our strategic projects, such as innovation, quality system, focus on the students and their employability, investments in service and hospitality, branding, and the 2020 academic model, which we have been constructing based on the pioneering academic model created back in 2010. The building of a modern management system in line with the best market practices, allowing us to move the entire company together towards common challenges, use KPIs to measure performance of areas and employees, and then define variable compensation based on the achievement of these targets, thus fostering a deeply meritocratic environment. Thanks to this system, we are nowadays a company with a brand, processes, academic model, and information management and compensation systems fully standardized across the country. The adoption of corporate governance practices that allow us to act with a corporation responsibility but without losing the agility we so much need. We also started to pay more attention to risk management, which, among other things, led us to focus even more on cash generation, to become more aware in relation to our exposure to governmental programs, to conservatively conclude the bond issue in the last quarter of 2014, and to build a diversification strategy that aims to reduce our dependence on the on-campus higher education segment. Last but not least, and as a consequence of this previous point, we decided to gradually gain exposure to other segments, particularly the distance learning business, started from the scratch back in 2009, and the continuing education area, created to focus on other products related to education for adults. This is how we are able to paint the map blue, as illustrated on this slide. That is how we were able to generate substantial and consistent results over the years, steadily, without highs and lows, without surprises. And that's how we become a company able to understand the value of balance among all of its dimensions, as we can see on slide number 3. Since we are a services company, we are fully aware we have to build strong relations with our employees within a positive working environment. Consequently, and because we believe that everything can and actually should be measured, since 2008, we have been conducting, with the help of the Hay Group, an annual organizational climate survey, whose results are shown in the graph below. The historical series, crowned by a brilliant result in 2014, shows 73% of favorability, 5 percentage points up on 2013. With more satisfied and confident employees, plus all the initiatives we have developed to improve quality both inside and outside the classrooms, and as part of our permanent focus on the student, one of our main values, it is only natural that this perception is also reflected in our student satisfaction surveys, which are conducted by Copernicus, also since 2008. Once again, it is possible to perceive the positive trend of this indicator, confirmed by a spectacular result in 2014. 73% of favorability last year for on-campus students compared to 68% in 2013, and 77% for distance learning students, which represents a 5 percentage point improvement year on year. In a sector deeply influenced by word to mouth, it is natural that these qualitative results would translate into quantitative ones, as we can see in the next slide, slide number 4. As you can expect in a services company, employee and client satisfaction allow us to grow safely and steadily, even without leveraging so much on the positive externalities I mentioned earlier, resulting in a company with less FIES penetration and less acquisition movements, but that it still grows a lot. Looking at the graph at the top of the page, we can see steady student base growth over the years, up by 38.5% over 2013, for a CAGR of more than 12%. With solid and sustainable student base growth, our management and governance model, together with the scalability brought by our business model, based on centralization and standardization, we've been able to generate significant results and excellent returns to our shareholders. As you can see at the EBITDA graph at the bottom, we reached an EBITDA of 533 million reais in 2014, 66 above the figure shown in 2013, for a 42% CAGR since 2008. It is exactly the set of results that, together with our discipline to focus on the execution of our long-term strategy, makes us very confident in our future, in spite of FIES. But I'll come back to this matter in a while. For now, I will hand over to Virgilio, who will give more details on our financial and operational results, and then will return for final remarks.
Thank you, Melzi, and good morning, everyone. To begin, I would like to draw your attention to slide number 5, which shows our operating results. The first chart shows the student base at the end of 2014. We ended the year with 437.4 thousand students, up by 38.5% in comparison to the same period last year. 301.7 thousand of those were enrolled in on-campus courses and 83,000 in distance learning programs, besides the 52.7 thousand acquired students in the period. Under the same shops concept, not considering the 4 acquisitions made in the last 12 months, the student base grew organically by 21.9%. The chart on the side shows that the net operating results increased by 49.6% in comparison to fourth quarter 2013, totaling 652.4 million reais. This increase is a result of the organic growth of the student base, the positive variation of the on-campus average tickets, the integration of the acquired companies, the offering of Pronatec, and the students transferred from Gama Filho and Universidade during this year. In 2014, total net operating revenue rose to 2.4 billion reais. The table on the lower part of the slide shows that in fourth quarter 2014, the average on-campus ticket went up by 10.5%, again reflecting our capacity to increase price at least in line with inflation. Once more, and for the same reasons explained throughout the year, this result was due to our policy of adjusting monthly payments in certain specific locations, as well as improvement in the mix, the result, among other factors, of FIES students opting for higher value-added courses, especially in engineering and health areas. Distance learning average ticket climbed by 5.6% in fourth quarter, already reflecting the more comparable base after completing a year that saw the launch of EADMIS, Distance Learning Plus, program and our policy of readjusting price in certain specific locations. Let's move now to slide 6, which shows the vertical analysis of our operating costs and expenses. In fourth quarter, the cash cost to net revenue ratio recorded a 5.6 percentage point improvement over fourth quarter last year, mainly thanks to gain in the following lines: 2.4 percentage points in personnel, reflecting the efficiency gains in faculty cost management coming from a better class formation process, in addition to 1.6 percentage point in the ENSS line. 1.1 percentage point in rentals, confirming our expectations of scale gains in this line. In the whole year, the cash cost as a percentage of net revenue ratio was once again an important source of efficiency gains, improving by 2.8 percentage points due to gains in the following lines. 0.9 percentage point in salaries and payroll charges, confirming yet another year of margin improvements due to increasingly efficient faculty cost management. 0.7 percentage point in rentals, representing 7.2% of net operating revenue, thanks to improved contract management gains of scale from the increase in the student base. And 0.5 percentage point in third-party services, confirming the efficiency gains we have been obtaining in this line. In the quarter, selling expense improved 0.4 percentage point as a result of the significant 1.5 percentage point improvement in PDA, once again reflecting the success of our strategy of recovering our receivables portfolio in 2014. Our provisions for the future default of FIES students are already consolidating in our PDA line. At the end of 2014, FIES students were divided into 89% with FG Duke and 11% with a Garrett. In 2014, selling expenses represented 9.9% of net revenues, generating a margin gain of 0.7 percentage points, essentially due to the consistent year-long improvement in the PDA line. The market line represented 5.6% of net revenue, within our annual expectation, given that we decided to invest a little more, 0.5 percentage points, in market related to building our brand, which will be a major focus in 2015. G&A expenses represented 15.9% of net revenues in fourth quarter 2014, 0.7 percentage points more than in fourth quarter 2013, mainly due to 1. An addition of around 6.5 million reais over fourth quarter 2013 in provisions for bonuses and stock options, keeping the pace we saw during the year. An impact of around 7.5 million from our sponsorship of 2016 Olympic Games in Rio in the institution events line. However, it's worth emphasizing that there was a corresponding counter entry under revenue related to the training we offer to the volunteers who will help at the event, so that the effect on operating results, EBITDA, was nil, impacting only the operational margin in the period, and an increase of 1.2 million reais in the insurance line related to the insurance product that we have begun offering our students, covering a semester of monthly tuition in a specific case of loss of employment. In the whole year, G&A expenses corresponded to 13.7% of net revenue in 2014, represent a 0.1 percentage points improvement over the year before, even with the increase in the institution events line mentioned above, which was concentrated in fourth quarter. Moving to slide 7, we can see the evolution of our EBITDA in the period. In 2014, EBITDA came to 532.6 million reais, up by 66.3% from an EBITDA margin of 22.2, 3.7 percentage points above the EBITDA recorded in 2013. This crowns an year of excellent results, coming from efficiency gains obtained in COGS and selling expenses line. Besides, the consolidation of UNICEF and the other acquired companies confirming another cycle of performance evolution profitability increase. The fourth quarter followed the same trend. EBITDA reached 133.1 million reais, 102.2% increase year over year for an EBITDA margin of 20.4%, up by 530 bips. We now move to slide 8, which shows our accounts receivable. The number of net days receivables, including FIES receivables and FIES net revenues, stood at 65 in fourth quarter, 18 days less than in third quarter 2014, and 5 days less than in the fourth quarter last year. Excluding FIES net revenues and FIES receivables, the average days receivables was 74 days, reduction of 5 and 4 days over the third quarter and fourth quarter respectively, confirming the significant improvement in our average days receivables and our higher successful collection for efforts in 2014, exemplified by the improvement in our PDA and accounts receivable. Moving on to slide 9, our FIES accounts receivable declined by 72.5 million reais over the previous quarters to 149.7 million reais, reflecting the continued process of amendments to the FIES contracts throughout the semester, and the consequent transfers and repurchase of certificates that took place in the fourth quarter. Let's move now to slide number 10, which shows our cash flow. In fourth quarter, we recorded positive operational cash flow of 63.1 million reais, 121.3 million more than in fourth quarter last year, indicate a substantial improvement in cash generation in the quarter. This result was chiefly due to significant EBITDA growth and the reduction in our average days receivables. In 2014, as a whole, operational cash flow was positive by 233.6 million reais, also a considerable 166 million improvement over the previous year, helping solidify our end-of-year cash position and corroborating our growing operational cash generation capacity and contributing for our solid cash position which we have today. Moving on to slide 11, I would like to say a few words about UNICEF integration. In fourth quarter 2014, we intensified the procedures related to Estácio's UNICEF intake and integration of back-off process. These efforts brought excellent results in the quarter. We delivered an EBITDA of 16 million reais, up more than 96% over the third quarter. We also saw another very strong intake cycle in the semester with the fourth intake process. After growing the number of new enrollments by 165% in the third cycle, we closed the fourth cycle with 20% growth on distance learning intakes, even with the calendar effect of the World Cup, which means the cycle lasted 18 days less than 2013. Besides this intake growth, in the fourth quarter, two other positive factors contributed to increased revenues. the migration of a portion of the student base from the telepresential model to the 100% online model, and the conclusion of the first wave of students migrating from partner centers to Stasiu's own unit, eliminating transfer needs, which saved around 250,000 reais in fourth quarter 2014. In November, we began the second phase of student migration to Stasiu's academic systems. At the end of this stage, almost 43% of the centers through partnership will be ready to offer distance learning undergraduate course under the Stasiu system, thus optimizing process and operating costs, which should contribute even more to the results and increase students' quality perception. The final distance learning undergraduate student migration phase is expected to take place in the second semester of 2015. Finally, we are concentrating all of our efforts on the intake of the Stasiu Unicebi units in the first semester of 2015, which began in fourth quarter last year. The process is already taking place within Stasiu systems, and we have already registered a year-on-year increase of more than 50% in the number of new enrolled students, without considering the medicine course, which has 40 seats for the first semester of 2015, and a ratio of 41.6 candidates for each place versus 15.7 in the second semester of last year. Moving on to slide number 12, I'd like to comment a little more on UNICEF's results. In fourth quarter, UNICEF contributed to leverage Stasiu's operating results, recording net operating revenue of 28.3 million reais. UNICEF's EBITDA totaled 16.1 million reais with a consolidated margin of 56.9%. This figure is almost twice the one we present in the third quarter, which already reflects operational leverage and synergies resulting from the integration efforts. The number of students per UNICEF Distance Learning Center closed 2014 at 307, representing enormous growth opportunities given that we have been gradually converging towards a ratio closer to that of Stasiu's organic operation, which averages around 1,600 students per center. In addition, it's worth remembering that in December, the MEC approved 19 new centers for UNICEF, which began operation the first semester of 2015, bringing further short-term opportunities for the first semester this year. Finally, on slide 13, I would like to comment on the new 200 million loan contract we have just announced. As said in our release, we kept our EBITDA target for 2015 intact, and we will look for alternatives to restore our cash position affected by the normative Rule 23. The additional funding contracted with Banco Itaú, besides being attractive from a financial standpoint, given its all-in cost of 100.8 of CDI interbank rate, makes it possible for us to maintain our expansion strategy and the progress of our 20-mile march in 2015. I will now hand the presentation over to Mels for the final comments and conclusion.
Well, thank you, Virgilio. Starting over on slide 14, I'd like to comment a little on FIES. Well, if on one hand you cannot say that the ordinance published in December definitely marked the beginning of the fourth stage we mentioned in our opening remarks, we have no doubts that the sequence of changes and problems we have been observing add complexity and thus make the scenario more challenging than it previously was. In this context, we believe the differentials built in these last years will be essential for us to maintain our healthy growth pace in line with our long-term view. However, before speaking about our strategy, it is worth remembering our view towards FIES, because once we understand this vision, it becomes easier to understand what we believe for the future. We have always believed FIES is a problem created by the government, representing the society and its interests, to students who cannot honor their tuitions in a private higher education institution. In this context, we, the institutions, have solely the role to provide students who choose us with education-related services. The student's choice, therefore, should be based on what we can offer and on the quality perception of our potential students. That's why we do not consider ourselves as a company in position to discuss neither matters related to the size of the program nor MECs, the Ministry of Education, selection criteria, such as the minimum and end grade, for example. We believe this discussion must happen between MEC and societies, several stakeholders, in particular students' representative associations, since they are the most affected by the government's decision. On the other hand, we are putting all of our efforts to make sure that the contracts that were agreed prior to these changes have all their terms respected. That's why, since these changes were announced, we've been discussing with the government and their representatives, eventually through legal actions, decisions such as the delay in tuition payments and the price caps introducing CIS, the system for CIS. At the same time, we believe CIS is extremely important to our country, since it directly affects the students who really need help to study and improve their lives. We also believe that FIES leads to an improvement in the whole quality of the system, as it gives the student a higher bargaining power. That said, Estácio intends to keep working together with its peers and the government to improve FIES, adopting measures that could make the program far more sustainable in the long run, possibly originating what the market is already calling FIES 2.0. Moving to slide 15, we can see where this view led us so far and how at the same time it is helping us to build a strategy for the next years. Since we never intended to appropriate FIES for ourselves or overuse it as a tool to attract students, between 2011 and 2014, we adopted the strategy described on the left side of the slide. It is worth remembering that such strategy was severely criticized several times, because it seemed that at some point we were slow to adopt the program, as if the decision was ours, not the students' decision. Therefore, we always 1. Avoided advertising FIES as an intake tool, since we always believed that our students should choose Estácio for what we have to offer, and not for what the government is offering. 2. Offer FIES mostly for students in proven financial distress who wanted to keep studying. Unlike many critics have been arguing, we believe that by doing this, we are not just transferring the credit risk to the government. We are actually acting responsibly in order to prevent dropouts due to financial reasons. 3. Tried our best to minimize the adverse selection effect, which means that students who don't necessarily need financing seek the program given its advantages. And 4. Following the principles of game theory, we aimed to maintain a FIES penetration rate lower than the market average, so that we would be the least hurt in case of significant changes in the program. With this in mind, we built the strategy we are going to adopt for FIES from now on, which we can see on the right side of the slide. Given our level of FIES independence, our strategy will be 1. To be stricter in the process of evaluating the student credit score, although this assessment is done by the FIES financial operators, differently from what happens with the ProUni. Our goal is to reduce even more this adverse selection problem, therefore contributing for a better allocation of resources, focusing on who really needs the program. 2. To seek private alternatives for student financing, in line with what we have quickly done with Pravaler. We believe he has helped to change the mindset of educational loans, fostering a culture of investing in education and thus bringing the possibility of new financial players offering student loans. 3. Little by little, to gradually reduce the exposure we have to the program. We do not have an ideal exposure level yet, but we know it is below what we have today. In this context, we believe the volume caps the government has been introducing, as well as the adoption of a new platform for student selection already for the second semester of this year, could actually help us reduce our exposure without creating any kind of competitive disadvantage. And 4, to highlight even more the differentials Estácio can offer to our students. After all, we worked really hard during the period of positive externalities to build such attributes, so now it is the best time to make use of them. In a nutshell, we firmly believe that with the help of our brand, our product, our quality, our team, and our differentials, we will be able to keep moving forward, posting consistent growth rates. Moving now to slide 16, we have the first opportunity to see the strength of our strategy, even in more challenging scenarios. Despite all the issues regarding FIES and CCS, including system slowdowns, supposed volume caps, uncertainties due to the lack of official information, and the fear regarding the future of the program after the change announced in December, Estácio once again, and for the 10th time in a row, should present a record high enrollment result. Although the intake process is still underway, it is possible to estimate an organic growth excluding acquisitions and the transfer students from Gama Filho and Universidade in 2014, for the on-campus undergraduate intake segment between 8 and 13%. In this scenario, Our on-campus undergraduate student base under the same shops concept is expected to grow between 15 and 17%. If we consider the acquisitions made during 2014 and at the same time we add back the students transfer from Gama Filho Universidade to the 2014 student base, we expect our on-campus undergraduate student base to grow between 18 and 20%. In the distance learning undergraduate segment, which did not suffer with these recent FIES changes since the financing is not available for DL courses, Estácio once again should record strong results. Since it is hard to break down the cannibalization effects in locations where both Estácio and UNICEF operate, we decided to present the distance learning intake numbers with a pro forma adjustment for the UNICEF intake in 2014 for a better comparison. That said, the distance learning undergrad intake should grow between 17 and 21%, which will lead to a total DL undergraduate student base growth, already considering the acquisition of UNICEF concluded in 2014, between 41 and 44%. As a result, we expect our total undergraduate student base to grow between 23 and 25% in relation to 2014, which paves the way for another set of great results in 2015, thus keeping the pace of our 20-mile march and showing the strength of our management model, our brand, and our team, which, in our belief, are definitely bigger than FIES. Moving to slide 17, the final slide. We'd like to conclude our speech reinforcing the belief that our management model will help us overcome the challenges imposed by the change on FIES. We believe nothing can prove that better than the fact that we remain committed to achieving the same EBITDA target that had been negotiated with our board of directors prior to the announcement of the changes. We also decided that while we can't seek full compensation in terms of operating cash generation in 2014, given the damage in FIES receivables, we will seek an equivalent cash position for the year's end to the one we projected before the publication of the ordinance. In our next interactions with the market, beginning with the results for the first quarter 2015, we intend to give more details on the plans we launched to obtain the results I just mentioned. We finish with a saying from Mr. Jorge Paulo Lehmann, one of the executives we have as a role model here at Estácio. Says Mr. Lehmann, "Brazil is never as good as it could be, but it's not as bad as they say. We may not be at our best time, but the larger operations we had happen in times of crisis. The market and the entrepreneurs of Brazil are very good, so it's best to look forward to see how to make the best of the troubles and what you can do even better than before." These were our comments. We can now open up for questions and answers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star, then two. And our first question comes from Luciano Campos of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Melody. Good afternoon, everybody. My first question is about the private funding that you are bringing in with Pravaler. My understanding here is that the interest rate for the student will be smaller, if I'm not mistaken, about zero. Can you walk us through the economics here? Will each student that takes a Pravaler will have the exact same ticket that another student that pay out of pocket? That's the first part of the question, and how that flows in your income statement and balance sheet, the difference between these two students in terms of margins, ROE, or anything else that we need to understand for these students coming into Pravaler. That's my first question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Luciano. This is Melzi. I'll answer, and then Virgilio can comment on that. The truth is that Pravaler was already, ready to go. Nobody expected this change in FIES in the middle of an intake process in the way it happened. So it's not that I had a lot of opportunities to look around and, to build anything specific for Estácio. We knew Pravaler. We've been maintaining a great relationship with them. We like the product. We know, the founders and the CEO and the team very well. So the moment this happened, we called them right away and said, we have to offer something to students who won't be able to get FIES. And obviously, they were the best possible option. At the same time, they already had their own model. And this option we decided to choose, this zero interest rates, by definition, that means that we are subsidizing these interest rates. This was one of the options they had in their hands at the time. I can't tell you right now whether this is the best possible one, the perfect one, but that's the one they already had. And that's the one we identified at that moment as the one that could actually substitute FIES in terms of calling students' attention. Obviously, we don't. In the medium range, we are going to look for other options, not only with Pravaler, but with other private players that may feel interested in jumping into this opportunity with educational credit. But there is one important point about the Pravaler and this interest subsidizing, which is the fact that obviously, if we are going to subsidize these interests, at least for now, forgetting about what we can do in the future to improve the process and the program. Obviously, we are not going to give a lot of scholarships, for example, or special discounts to these students. So there is kind of a compensation going on in this process. Right now, it is really difficult to tell you whether this is going to be a full offset or not. What I can tell you, however, is that it won't be like 100% of a loss here. So we don't have these projections. And again, we have to remember that this happened in a matter of a few days and or a few weeks. We had to design everything to implement the process, to start selling to our students. We thought it would be really interesting at the time. We already have 3,000 students in the middle of the process with Pravaler, meaning that it is indeed working well. So as time goes by, as we buy more time by using this first opportunity, we will be able to evaluate whether it's working well or not. We will be able to sit more calmly, and to develop other options for students. We will be able to think better about other options we may have to subsidize only partially the interest rates, to try to combine, what kind of interest rates students will have, for example, with their own behaviors in terms of how well they are paying their tuitions and so forth. So I think there's a lot of room here for creativity, for development. But not now. Right now, we had to focus solely on this option they already had in the shelf. Virgilio, if you can add.
Okay. Hi, Luciano. It's Virgilio. I think one interesting point is the subsidy that we are offering to the students is 1.82% a month. So if you are bringing all this cash flow from this tuition for a present value, the discount would be close to 81% of each 100 reais that we are going to cash in a student contract. Just for comparison, we have as an average in Estácio of scholarships and discounts something close to 25-28%. So if we have the opportunity to reduce these scholarships in order to offer all these discounts that we are subsidized from the interest rate, that makes a lot of sense and generate value, also improving our tickets ahead. And I think another huge opportunity is that after the first payment, after the first installment that the student pay in the semester, we are going to cash the entire semester, helping the cash flow generation, the working capital during 2015 that's had been hurt by the normative rules from FIES. So I think this is complete the answer here.
Yeah, and as for your question on how this will go into the balance sheet, the truth is that we haven't thought a lot about that yet, but I mean, it is technically a financial discount, but we are going to have a huge debate here on how to show this eventually as an operational thing, because at the end of the day, we want to show the actual ticket students are paying for our tuitions. But this is still ongoing here. Remember, this is pretty quick stuff. I mean, you don't have a lot of time to go through all these details.
And so just one question, perhaps that one you'd have, Melody. If I understand, the student pays half of the tuition out of pocket, right? I would just want to understand the other half, or approximately the other half. Would Pravaler give you that money right away, or that will go to your receivables?
Semester by semester, full tuition right at the beginning. And the risk will be a Pravaler's risk in the future. So if a student doesn't pay, that's going to be their problem, right? So we get full recognition during the student's program.
Yeah, just to be clear here, they have to pay the first installment. After that, the Pravaler cashes back and pays the entire semester right away.
And then when they graduate, they will take the same time as they took to graduate to pay the other half for Pravaler. Okay?
Just a second question then, Melzi. It's about the distance learning segment. You guys now have approximately one semester, and plus the admissions process of the first quarter of 2015, already together with UNICEB. Just if you can remind us again about your strategy in terms of products and brand, and how you're looking at competition in this experience that you already had, and in a very practical terms, when you look at your average tickets in distance learning during 2015, how would that behave compared to inflation? Can we expect at least inflation in this variation of the year, something a little bit more or less, and for any other factor that we should know? That's the second question. Thank you.
All right, so let me start with this last question. You can consider inflation, yes. Obviously, this has already happened since we didn't have fees for, distance learning. So no government to tell whether we could increase our price or not. We actually did that already. Just taking account that we have those other effects, you probably remember the EAD+, that one that, has a smaller tuition but takes longer. So when you put all those things under consideration, yes, you can consider at least inflation for tickets for distance learning 2015. As for UNICEB, it is a process from an operational standpoint. We're going, I would say, really, really well in terms of centralizing what can be centralized, standardizing what can be standardized, applying our management model, implementing our culture. I think those things are going really well because we had a lot of chance to practice before since we made 16 or 17 acquisitions before UNICEB. From a marketing perspective, we've decided to fully migrate to Estácio's brand. We are still keeping UNICEB in some specific regions, particularly in Ribeirão Preto, São Paulo's countryside, where UNICEB is located. But the truth is that it seems better for us to build a brand from the scratch in São Paulo metropolitan area, which is by far right now our most important area in terms of expanding our distance learning. So we are building something already with Estácio and gradually dropping UNICEB's brand. We are also migrating students into our academic system, which is absolutely welcome because they were facing a lot of troubles in their former academic system. So I think satisfaction will actually increase as time goes by. And we are building a very strong relationship with our distance learning centers partners because through UNICEB, we now have this model of partnership. So we are kind of, learning how to work with them in a way that students are the most benefited. So I think things are really underway. Remember, we made this acquisition because we wanted to increase our distribution network. We were stuck with 52 centers. Right now we have almost 200 centers and others coming through our processes waiting for authorization in the Ministry of Education. We are becoming quite a powerful player in terms of distance learning as well. And it is happening, Luciano, in the best possible way, gradually, step by step, acquisition by acquisition, center by center, program by program. This is the best possible way for us to grow.
Melzi, last part of the question then. In the Portuguese call, you commented about efforts that you guys are doing to control dropout rates. Can you put that in context of distance learning?
It's pretty much the same thing. Everything we do here, I know when Gilberto's not here anymore in this call, but for you who went in the first call, we had our operational executive director, our COO, Gilberto Castro, commenting on how we are structuring Estácio to improve our dropout rates, considering that this is one risk in terms of results for 2015. Obviously, he was talking more about our on-campus operations, but the same techniques we will apply for distance learning. With one particular thing for distance learning, although we do not have our students coming every week to our distance learning centers, the truth is that we can map them in a very efficient way by tracking what they're doing online. So I know, for example, if a student is actually studying or not, how many hours he or she is putting in terms of studying, whether she or he is taking the lessons, and so forth. So the truth is that when a student is fully online, he or she is giving us a lot of clues on how much they are, how likely they are to abandon or to drop out. So by doing this, by tracking this eventual trends, and then by applying everything Gilberto explained, for you who weren't in the call, Gilberto talked about mapping out much better what are the trends for the students, with trouble, financial troubles or academic troubles, acting proactively through the course manager or course coordinators, as we call here in Estácio, to invite these students for a conversation, having what we are calling here a dropout central. This is going to be like a team working here to map this out, to come up with a lot of campaigns to help these students to stay. He also talked a lot about reinforcement classes in programs, in classes or in disciplines where students are showing more trouble, be it online, be it on campus, doesn't matter. If we can map that students are having trouble, for example, with their grades in these disciplines, we are going to reinforce these classes so as to motivate students to, stay with us. There is also a sort of a motivational thing going on, and this is going to be led by myself. I didn't talk about that in the call, in the Portuguese call, but I am the one who will make a lot of speech to our professors talking about, how important it is for Estácio and for the society to help and to motivate students to be, to go all the way to the end, because this is, at the end of the day, at the interest of everybody in Brazil. So I think what I'm trying to say is that we're going to call everybody, professors, coordinators, staff, managers, to fight for students so as they stay with us, they believe in their dream, and they allow us to help them to, reach their dreams.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much, Melody.
Thank you, Luciano.
Our next question, again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Vera Rossi of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Could you talk about your intakes and the breakdown for the number you gave in the Portuguese call of 113,000, please? Thank you.
Yeah, Virgilio will.
Hi, Vera. Just to give more calls about the intake, the same shops intake that we have in on campus. During 2014, the first quarter of 2014, we released 99,000 students. Considering this number, one third of these enrollments was using FIES contracts, something close to 33,000 students, and then the 66% of the other part is non-FIES. What we are considering now in 2015, consider that 13%, if we are jumping between 8-13%, just to ease our numbers here, we are aiming something close to 113,000 students, new students coming 2015, breaking in three clusters. A non-FIES, something close to 78,000-83,000 students. Using FIES, new FIES contracts, between 25 and 30,000 students. Among them, we already have 20,000 students closing their FIES contract or already closed. They have already accepted the contract and CCS. And also, we are aiming 5,000 students using Pravaler Finance Ed. Among them, we already have 3,000 students closing this process with Pravaler, so totaling 113,000 students. So what can vary is between this FIES, that will be between 25 and 30,000, and the new intake, same shops, will reach something close to 8% and 13% by 2015. Okay?
Okay, and in terms of the new contract for FIES, do you see restrictions in the market when the students apply? What are the caps or what are the trends you identify that the government is establishing caps for the new FIES contract?
All right, Vera, this is Melzi. We see there is a cap, there is a limit. And as I said in the Portuguese call, if there is one thing I can, criticize about the government's behavior, or the MEC's behavior during this, this crisis, is precisely this lack of transparency when it comes to this, potential caps they are applying, be it a price cap or a volume cap. The truth is that, again, even, as much as I can agree with them, because it was necessary to make such a move in order to, bring things back under control in terms of financial adjustments, They had to be more transparent. I mean, it's really weird that we, you know, the universities have to keep, you know, trying to define whether there's a cap or not. And it's even worse for students who have to spend a lot of time, you know, behind a computer screen trying to do something that eventually they won't be able to do no matter how much they try. So this is the one thing I really dislike about what is happening now. I think it is a matter of respect. But having said that, as I explained during my speech here, Estácio never put a lot of emphasis on FIES. We always saw FIES as a means, not as an end. So we knew students were applying to FIES. We tracked it since the day they declared that they want to study with us. We asked them whether they want to take FIES or not. So we know what is happening, but we don't, you know, actually the truth is that we don't follow very much. We don't manage a lot FIES. So I don't have an answer for this question. We haven't put a lot of emphasis here to try to define the size of this cap, whether there is any kind of, criteria to distribute this cap among programs or regions or so forth. We decided to, you know, emphasize other things that were much more under our control. But having said that, I can tell you empirically that there is a cap, and the reason we know that is because at some point, there is a message that shows in the student's screen and says something like, this program at this given campus has already reached its limit, so try another one or something like that. So it says, clearly says that there is a cap, although nobody knows the logic behind this cap. The other thing I can tell you, which is also empirical, is that this is happening much more or much faster in the Southeast, especially in Rio de Janeiro, São Paulo, and in the South as well, than in the North and in the Northeast. It seems to be taking longer for this cap, you know, to happen or to show in the screen in the Northeast and Northern regions, which is somehow in line with what the media has been saying here, that the government would try to direct more FIES positions to these regions, North and Northeast. But again, I can't tell you whether it is a 33%, 40%, whether it is different region by region, because you are not tracking that in a scientific way. Although I can tell you that definitely there is a cap, and it seems to be different among regions, okay?
Okay, thank you for the detailed answer. And I just have one other question on FIES. Is on your new contracts, on your current contracts, I'm sorry, have you been able to increase the tuition above the 6.4% established by the government?
At the beginning, it was difficult because they came up with this cap, 6.4%, which is, you know, the official inflation for 2014. There is a huge mistake in that definition, and I've tried to explain, you know, personally this to the Minister of Education a handful of times, and they seem not to understand, or they don't want to understand, I don't know. But the truth is that they are not taking into account that some schools, like us, for example, we use a credit system, meaning that there is also a volume variation here going on here, right? So coincidentally, the price increase starts to apply this year in January was 6.48% across the board, 6.48. The cap was designed to be 6.41. So, I mean, no difference at all whatsoever. It's 0.07%. But the problem is that students who sign up for more classes, therefore students that will have more credits, we're having trouble to go through their amendment process with the FIES system because they were finding this cap. So it was difficult at the time. We decided to wait because we knew there would be a lawsuit about that. Indeed, there was. And the truth is that, you know, the sector is gaining all the lawsuits that are running parallel in many states in Brazil right now. So at this point in time, the Ministry of Education has actually suspended this cap. It's not applying anymore. And we've been able, our students actually have been able to renew their loan with the FIES system without considering this cap. Whether this is going to be like that or not in the future, we still don't know because it's going to depend on the Ministry of Education's behavior. Will they react or not? But the truth is that it is absolutely not fair that they apply this for old contracts, contracts that had already been established between them and the students, having us as a service provider only, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. As it seems there are no further questions, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Ruggiero Melzi for his final remarks.
Well, so let me thank you all for participating in our call today, and mainly for, you know, having been supporting us for this kind of tough times we've been through here in Brazil. I think I'd like to finish this speech with you, this conversation with you, by saying that do not think, please, that we are undermining what is going on in Brazil. We are not. We know that Brazil is going through a very difficult period here because of, you know, the fiscal problems we have ahead of us, because of the economic situation, everything else everybody's reading on the newspapers. We are not undermining the negative effect FIES can have on us, even though our strategy has never relied very much on FIES. We fully and recognize that, yes, it's going to be a tough time here, and yes, Estácio won't, you know, suffer less than anybody else in Brazil. On the other hand, though, as much as we don't want to feel overconfident or look to be overconfident, the truth is that we really believe that these tough times are actually the best possible opportunities for companies that have developed fundamentals and pillars, companies that have invested a lot on people, processes, on their product, to actually show their value and to make the difference. So this is how we want to behave from now on in terms of mindset. We are not overconfident. We are not in denial mode here. We fully understand the problems, but at the same time, we think that we are absolutely well-suited and prepared to face it and to keep growing and bringing outstanding returns to whoever trusts and relies on us. With that, I finish, and I hope to see all of you soon in our meetings, in our calls. Wishing you all the best. So thank you, and have a nice afternoon.
This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect, and have a good day.